in this world, along with us, a situation that runs in parallel with our lives, and that is of illness. There is probably nobody around here who has not been afflicted by some sort of illness or a disease, whether it's a child or a young man or older person. In life, even if a person is very healthy, even then, once or twice, the flu will affect that person. And if we look at different illnesses or diseases that affect people nowadays, as the time is passing, different forms of illnesses are here. And nowadays we hear about illnesses that many people have got. And if we go back 100 years ago, 150 years ago, the people in that time didn't know about these illnesses. They didn't even know what is the meaning of heart attack or cholesterol levels, etc. And everybody nowadays knows about cholesterol and heart issues and diseases. So there are many illnesses and issues that are afflicting society today. Now, from all of the illnesses, there is one illness that isn't just around today, but has been around since the beginning of time. In every generation, in every age, every century, and everybody is aware of this illness. And this is a very weird, you could say, unique illness or disease. Now, this illness, it is very different to all of the other illnesses that we are aware of, that we have seen or know about, and it's there. It's present. As I said, there's no age in which this illness has not affected the people. And in this day and age, it's very prevalent and spread out wide. And you're sat here, Allah knows best. We are sat here, that how many of us are affected by this illness? Well, this is hidden. It's concealed, this illness. It's hidden. It's not apparent. And if somebody gets this illness to a high level, then he tells or he demonstrates that issue to others. And obviously, he then starts to look for the cure. Initial stages or levels, a person hides, tries to conceal it. Although it's a concealed illness itself, he doesn't want to, or she doesn't want to make it apparent, and doesn't tell other people. This is the illness. And physically, externally, the person will look healthy. The woman or the man, they will sit with you, they will speak to you. But even whilst they're speaking to you, their mind is somewhere else totally. And people won't be able to recognize that, is this person with me, or is he lost somewhere else? Or is he... But that person at that time, although he's speaking physically to the person he's sitting with, he has got some adab within. What is that illness? And that illness is called khawf, or fear. Fear. Worry. Worry. Concern. And this is a bad illness. And the germs of this illness, they spread. And they are very dangerous. Now this illness, it doesn't leave a person here or in the hereafter. The enjoyment of the life, it ceases or it decreases or it reduces. And for example, people who are very happy, even within those people, that sector, a lot of people get this illness or disease. We see that the solution to problems is money and wealth. Maybe the wealthy people, they don't have this problem, and only the poor people. No, it is not the case. Rather, maybe more over and above the poor people, the wealthy people are affected by this illness. And it happens suddenly. It can come suddenly. It can grab a person and drag him down or drag her down. And it's there. It's physically there. Now this illness of khawf, of fear or worry, fear about the dunya, worry about the dunya, concern about the dunya. And what is the fear or the concern? And when he is ill or she is ill, they don't tell other people because they'll laugh at me. If I tell them that I've got this problem, they'll joke at me. They'll put me down. And in the world, the psychologists analyze this illness. Mental physicians look at this illness. There are people who are trained to look at this, and they make people mental patients. But this illness, the root cause of this illness is the dunya. Is the dunya. And tafakkarat, pondering, thinking, constantly worrying. What's going to happen here? What's going to be the result of this? If this doesn't happen, then what will happen here? Or I had to go here. And I'm going. For example, the plane. Will I miss the plane? And he sat down worrying. Is the plane going to go? He sat in the car. And no, for example, you're sat. Oh, you'll get there to the plane. No, you'll be fine. No, the plane will go and I can't check in. What about my luggage? What's going to happen about my luggage? And these worries and tafakkarat. Now, these are things that people worry about. Small little thing. What will happen tomorrow morning? Let's go a bit further. Let's increase it. Let's come into the world of business or employment. I don't know what's going to happen about my job. I'm working. Will I still have my job? Will I progress? Or this issue of mine is stuck somewhere along this process and it's not progressing and I'm not getting to the conclusion. So these are the germs that multiply and they multiply and they increase. Will my business succeed? This shop that I've purchased, I'm very worried. And he's bought the shop. There was a brother, just recently he came to me. As I do dua, mashallah, I've completed on a great transaction, very good shop, nice business. It was an opportunity and I needed this shop as well. And he was very happy and I want to give you jalebis and sweet. I said, Alhamdulillah, fadl of Allah, you go and run your shop, forget the sweets and the gift. Run your shop, may Allah ta'ala give you barakah in your shop. And a week didn't pass, a week. And then I met him and he's very yellow and pale complexion. And he's shaking. And I said, what's happened to you? I saw you very happy. And not a week has passed. He said that this shop, the problem of the shop has fallen on my head. I said, what's happened? That a week ago you were so happy. And now you don't even know whether it's running or not. He said that I don't know if it's going to run or not. But I just can't sleep. And I've got so much worry. I don't know what's going to happen with the business. I said, this is ajeeb, weird. So this is khawf. Fear and worry. And for us this may sound weird, but it's a reality. For the person who has these issues and mental worries and constant thinking and worry, we will laugh and laugh at this and smile. But when we tell others our issues, they will also laugh at us. We should think like this, that every person is involved in this predicament. And this is such an illness that a person's not sleeping, for example. And you give him some reassurance and water. And for example, I haven't seen him 3 or 4 days. I gave him some water with the dam, and inshallah, reassurance was given. But he's got worries, issues. So khawf, fear of the dunya. Many men and women, sisters, brothers are occupied with this problem. Then their physical and mental state gets worse and the illness increases. So this is the illness of khawf. Is this a good illness? Everyone do dua that Allah save us from this illness. Do we all do this dua? You don't do this dua? That Allah, this disease or illness of khawf that's not even visible and I can't see the cure. If you get a flu or a cold or you get Sudafed or some tablet. But this illness, Allah, worry, khawf. Everyone will say, oh, he's mad. He's mad. Oh, this is the problem, isn't it, nowadays in society? That maybe that person himself will have the illness, but when he sees someone else, they say, oh, that person's mad, especially women. What am I going to go to cook tomorrow? Will I be able to cook it? The guests are coming, and she's cooking the food. I don't know if the food's been made nice. It's not correct. No, it's cooked, okay? No, there's less spices. It's not tasting good. People are going to laugh. This is all illness. This is all khawf, and it increases. And then you have to take tablets, and then the injection, and then it increases more. And he's thinking about tomorrow. May this not happen, may this not happen. I want this to happen this way. And what if this happens, and what if that happens? So this is not a good state to be in. And it's an illness, and it's an extreme illness. And it's ajeeb. It sounds ajeeb. That let's seek this illness in the Quran. Let's open the Quran. That do we all want to be saved from this? You don't want to be? They're sad if we don't want to be saved. What kind of believers? Allah Ta'ala says, ittaqu. That fear me and create khawf. That in the Quran, Allah Ta'ala gives solutions. If we count, there are so many places in the Quran Allah Ta'ala has ordered khawf, fear, fear. What taqu, fear, have fear. What do we say? Oh, no. Khawf is a big thing. How can I get this? How can I fear Allah? These are two opposite things, are they? Allah saying khawf is good. We are saying khawf. No, I don't want this khawf. I don't want worry. So who should we listen to and accept? That Allah Ta'ala, we've had the experience of khawf. That for example, I'm so worried and concerned and I've got worry of things around me. You're saying it create khawf. But we have to obey you, Allah. You are the Rabb. You are the creator. So what khawf are you telling us to go towards? How do we get rid of this khawf? Are there two opposite things? The Quran is giving us hukum of something else. The order for something else. The khawf is a great thing to have. And to have inherently within. And people in the world say, no, you don't want khawf. You don't want fear. People will call you mad. You will be a mental patient. You don't want to have khawf, but there's a difference between the two khawfs. The khawf that Allah Ta'ala is inviting towards, and the khawf that the people of the world are afraid of. The khawf that the people of the world are afraid of, and that makes them ill and a mental patient or mental sickness, this is khawf of the dunya. Fear of the dunya. And the khawf that Allah Ta'ala is inviting us towards is khawf Allah. Khawf of Allah. Wattaqullah. Different khawf. Different fear. Both are fear. Both are where a person's afraid. One is the khawf of the world, of the dunya, of what's going to happen, this, that, the other. And the other is the khawf of Allah, within which is enjoyment upon enjoyment. The khawf of Allah, and this first khawf of dunya doesn't let you sleep in the night. Khawf of Allah doesn't let you sleep in the night. Khawf of the dunya keeps you worried. Khawf of Allah keeps you worried. And the khawf of the dunya makes you cry. The khawf of Allah brings the tears. And the khawf of dunya makes you shake. And the khawf of Allah makes you shake. But the difference is that khawf of dunya makes you mad. And the khawf of Allah makes you wali Allah. Waliyullah. Say subhanallah again. Subhanallah. What a great comparison, isn't it? So Allah Ta'ala says, wattaqullah. Have fear of Allah. Be afraid of Allah. Allah Ta'ala, here in the world, if a person has fear, send him to the mental hospital, give him this and tablets and drugs, and she's mad and he's become crazy. He's going to a room, confinement, solitary confinement, crying, shaking, trembling. And when that person says something, we don't know why is that person crying. For example, I'll give you the example that your shop is in the same place, it's running in a nice way. Why are you worried that what's going to happen to the shop, etc.? So when the fear of Allah comes into that, it's opposite to the fear of dunya. Allah says, when you fear me, when the khawf of mine comes into your heart, the first reward, Allah Ta'ala says, وَلِمَنْ خَافَ مَقَامَ رَبِّهِ جَنَّتَانِ Subhanallah. فَبِأَيِّ آلَاءِ رَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِّبَانِ That you don't appreciate these things, Allah says. You don't appreciate the khawf of Allah. Look at the reward of Allah's fear. When Allah's fear comes into a person, when Allah's fear comes into the heart of the person, imagine the enjoyment, the taste of Allah's khawf. And Allah's khawf comes into the person that his body is enjoying it, is enjoying. And maybe he will stop eating or have concern, but he'll feel the taste and the enjoyment that I fear Allah. I'm aware of Allah. And it's two opposite things. So Allah Ta'ala says that have fear. One side we say, Allah, don't give us this fear of the dunya. And the other side we say in front of the Kaaba, Allah, give us your khawf. Allah, give us khawf. In tahajjud we do the dua. We cry and make the dua. In Ramadan we make the dua. Allah, khawf. Allah, we want your khawf. Allah, we want your fear. Subhanallah. Big difference. Big difference. Do we want this fear? Do you want this fear? We don't want fear number one, do we? Fear of the world, worry. But we want this fear. Say Alhamdulillah. Say loudly Alhamdulillah. That's why we're sat here. That's why we're sat here. That Allah Ta'ala sends us towards His fear. Ameen. So Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran, وَمَن يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا. This is the verse of the Quran. وَمَن يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا. Allahu Akbar. يَرْزُقُمْ. Allahu Akbar. Allah Ta'ala says that you fear me. Fear me, create my khawf. Have fear of me. وَمَن يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا. Allah says, and unto everyone who is conscious of God, He always grants a way out of unhappiness. Subhanallah. That we have the fear of the world. Will my shop run? Will my business run? Will my employment be okay? And when the khawf of Allah is instilled in the heart, Allah says, from the heavens, from the earth, I will give you, I will rain down the mercies upon you. وَمَن يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا. Is Allah Ta'ala not saying this? From such places I will give you rizq and sustenance. You cannot even imagine. We see, oh, I want to run my business from here. I'll get this much earning. Allah says, you cannot even imagine that from where I will fill your life with rizq. You can't even imagine. You will be sat down and from within the oil will flourish and gush forth and money will flow. And I used to see my Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullah Alayhi. So many guests used to come and this was the prayer mat of Hazrat. And he used to lift the prayer mat here from this corner, take the money out. They go and buy this and feed these people. MashaAllah, food, how? I want to see Hazrat Sahab gets up one day. I want to see underneath what is here. This is the khawf of Allah. He used to fear Allah, yet trust in Allah. Allah Ta'ala provides for them. Allah Ta'ala respects them. If a guest comes, subhanAllah. Hazrat Sahab never said that, for example, they had nothing at home himself. But he said, please feed the guests. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Al-Hazrat knew that Allah, for His beloved servants and the people, that Allah Ta'ala says, those who fear me and are worried, Allah Ta'ala says, I love them. I provide for them. I prepare for them. Allah says, this is my mahbub, beloved servant, man or woman. They have khawf in their heart, fear in their heart. So this is a beautiful condition to have khawf of Allah. So the khawf of the world doesn't allow you to sit still. Doesn't allow you to feel content. The same, these are two opposite things. One is the khawf, the fear of the world. One is the fear of Allah. Now our job, Our duty is to come to the point. We are sat here, we are customers, we are clients, we need to make our life better. We have two opposite sides. At this time, what is our hal? Those who are listening, who are present, with forgiveness, I plead that we are occupied in the worry of the world, whether we accept or not. What are we occupied in? The worry of dunya, fear of dunya. Forgive me for saying this. And we don't even know that we're stuck in the fear of the dunya. That we don't even realize someone says, oh, it's a jinn, or it's a ghost, or it's an evil spirit. Someone's throwing spices on Amil, or the black magic specialist, or the exorcist, or some. But the wali wala takes the root causes, and this is khawf of the dunya, nothing else. And what's the solution? What do we need to do? What do the Sufi people do? What happens in the Khanqa? They are all patients. They are occupied in the fear of the dunya. As I said, there's no bigger illness than this. We recognize diagnosed TB or cancer or blood diseases. But only the walis of Allah recognize this disease of fear of the world. If I start to give examples, the discussion will become very lengthy. But when a person goes to the wali of Allah, the wali of Allah won't say you're affected by a jinn or a spirit. He'll say, no, you are busy in the worry of the world, of the dunya. And what's the cure for this? Then he gives the cure. You recognize in the khanqa, in the spiritual hospital. You won't see many people used to come to Hazrat until today. I never heard the Hazrat Sahib said he had his jinn in him. Or jinn has affected that person. No. Or he's possessed by a jinn. No, there are three makhluk Allah Ta'ala has created. They're all different conditions and different states they're in. The angels were created by what? What? Ulama will tell us. By nur, the light, subhanallah. And the jinn, they were created by fire. We were created by clay, the soil. So we are created by the least grade of, you can say, matter, but we've been given the highest level. Why? Because Rasulullah was going to come into our into the human beings in the world. He was going to come amongst the human beings in the world. So Allah Ta'ala said that I have elevated this clay, the soil from which I made human beings, subhanallah. So this issue that we're in now, situation that people, lots of people are afflicted by the disease, illness of the worry of dunya, fear of dunya. We're not enjoying ourselves in the dunya. But when we get khawf Allah, fear of Allah, then there will be a massive enjoyment. Massive. We don't have the taste. We don't have the enjoyment of this. But I'll tell you the measuring gauge for have we got the love of Allah, the fear of Allah. So it's come, mashallah, from this direction and it's coming from here. Verbally I'm speaking. I'm not giving you the references from kitabs. The message is coming from here and coming out delivered by my tongue. Alhamdulillah. So, what's the situation that's arisen? That our scenario that we want to make is that we want to enjoy the life. We don't want an empty, hollow life, a dead life. This life we're living at the moment is along with fear of the world. Our heart is trapped, our mind is trapped. Let's change this. Let's improve this. What do we need to do? Is that we need to replace the fear of dunya with the fear of Allah, fear of akhirah. That's what we've got to do. And this is called mujahidah. Making effort. And if we don't create this situation and condition, then we will not enjoy the life. We need to bring this in every way into our lives. Every way. That Allah, that khawf of the dunya, please remove this from us. And then what will happen? When the khawf of dunya will come out, fear of the world will come out, then we will sleep easy. Nicely, alhamdulillah, then the other khawf will come. And there's a lot of enjoyment in that khawf. A lot of enjoyment. So the fear of the world, it takes us to the point we have to take tablets, sleeping tablets and sleep. And the fear of Allah, it makes us wake up at the tahajjud. This fear of the world, it will make us listen to music and other instruments. And khawf of Allah will make us listen to Quran. So opposite action and result, isn't it? That's it. That's what happens. They're both of fear. Both are states of fear. But we need to think that we need to change and improve. We're not enjoying life, empty life in the dunya. We're trapped in the fear of dunya. This house, this building, this asset, this money, this balance, this khawf, this fear, this worry, this concern. Is this a life? Allah Ta'ala says, this is the life like animals. There's no taste, enjoyment of life. There's no quality of life. You don't even know about your ibadah. You don't know about the taste of it. One salah is prayed with the fear of the dunya. I don't know what I prayed, which rakat I was in, which ayahs I recited. I'm just fulfilling a fard. And all the dunya is praying salah. And there's another salah with the fear of Allah. That sajda, that prostration will become an example for the whole life. Ask Hazrat Imam Hussein radiallahu anhu about his sajda. The final sajda prostration, how did he do it? With the fear of Allah. Because it had affected him, the fear of Allah. He said, forget this, this clash of God with people. Fair enough, I'm going to pray. And they said, no, if you pray and you go into prostration, the people who had the fear of the world said to him, if you prostrate, they will martyr you. Is this the time to pray salah? If you bend down in prostration, they will kill you. The people said, and here, what did Hazrat Hussain radiallahu anhu say? And the love tell him that this is the enjoyment. I want to prostrate. I will depart from the world with the taste of sajda. But how do I fear Allah and have the sajda with Allah? Subhanallah. Why? Because it's possible that the person who has the fear of Allah, that he departs. Maybe it's possible that Allah Ta'ala was displeased with me. It was time for salah. Why didn't you pray? Why didn't you pray on the time? So the person who has the fear of Allah, he gets up during illness. He gets up during unconsciousness. Have I prayed salah? He suddenly runs to the prayer mat. The sabr, have sabr, have patience. You're ill, you're not well, etc. But what is it, that driving force from within? What is it, riya, showing off? No, fear of Allah. Why? Because he's afraid in this situation. Rather, it's being told to him that you will pray salah. It's better for you to pray salah here. You don't have to go there. But he says, no, he doesn't listen. That just like in the fear of the world, he says, no problem, your shop will run, you'll have a good business. He doesn't accept, does he? No, no, no. He's saying, wrong to me, this is the problem, it's in my heart. I've got worries, business worries. So the person who has the fear of Allah, when he's given reassurance, he says, no, they are wrong, they're lying. I am right what I'm thinking. I need to pray to Allah. So Hazrat Hussain, he understood that this is the asal, the genuine thing. That yes, they will attack me, they will inflict the wounds on me, but I've got to pray salah. And this is the khawf of Allah. So, brothers, my colleagues, this is the khawf of Allah. The khawf of Allah. Alhamdulillah. And there are two signs here. And our minds were thinking that I've got khawf khuda, I've got the fear of Allah, I've got the khawf of Allah. Everyone can say this. So we have two opposite extreme conditions here. I could say easily, I've got fear of Allah, I think I've got khawf, I've got taqwa, and I am pious. But there are signs of this. There are signs for this. There's a sign. Allah Ta'ala and Allah's Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam have given us the signs. We need to take the signs and the measuring gauge and understand that what is the sign? That have I got fear of Allah within me or not? How? So let's scan ourselves, assess ourselves. So the tariqah, the method, the formula to scan ourselves and to identify, have I got khawf of Allah within me? That khawf of Allah, fear of Allah, to fear Allah, to be afraid that person, if he has fear of Allah, will not commit the sins, will not implement the sins. Due to the fear of Allah, a person, if he has fear of Allah, will not commit the sins. When he doesn't commit the sins, then he is saved from disobedience. Or she is saved. Total simple formula, like 1 plus 1 is 2. That when a person starts to walk and tread towards sins, fear of Allah overwhelms that person and he stops. This is the sign and this is khawf of Allah. The question doesn't arise. The person who has khawf, oh, do this, do that. This isn't khawf. Khawf is that he suddenly stops. He says, no, I cannot do this action. I can't do this action. That the hukm is coming to do the sin if he has fear of Allah. Suddenly, for example, Allah is ordering, do an action. Khawf of Allah will make him do the action. No, I've got to do this. I'm tired. I've come late. I'm exhausted. Lie down. Suddenly, then when he knows the salah time comes, suddenly he'll get up and run towards salah. What is it that brings that person up? Not the alarm clock. Not the alarm clock. Take the help from the alarm clock. No problem. But what is it that's given him? That what is going to assist? The khawf of Allah. The fear of Allah. Why? That may my Rabb not be unhappy with me. It's raining. It's snowing. But he's running to the masjid. No, no, no. If I don't go to the masjid, pray salah, congregation, Allah, my Rabb said, whoever doesn't pray, these are the punishments, etc. Fear of Allah. Allah said that don't do this action. Don't do this action. Your heart feels like doing it. Nobody's watching. Nobody's looking at you. Yes, that every year Allah Ta'ala makes us practice in Ramadan. Allah is watching. Allah is watching and no one else is watching. Are they only Allah Ta'ala watches, isn't it? When you're fasting physically, even a child who's fasting, you'll do all the sins, but he won't break the fast before time. Look at the iman and the strength and the yaqeen of a human being. Even a child, if you seat him separately, the children, mu'mins, they don't want to eat, they don't want to drink, they'll be naughty and do silly actions. They'll say, no, I'm not going to eat, Allah's going to be unhappy. You see, the child with iman and honesty, they keep the fast until the evening, subhanAllah. So this is the practice that Allah Ta'ala gives us in Ramadan. Why do we do this? Oh, the 30 days I'll get thawab. There are these things, but khawf of Allah is there. This is practice for the rest of the life. Allah Ta'ala prepares us physically, mentally, spiritually, that this is the objective of your life. That apart from me, nobody else is watching you. Allah says, everywhere I'm with you. And you have now understood this point, and you realize that if you have my khawf, you know that this action Allah Ta'ala dislikes, this action if I do it, that Allah Ta'ala doesn't like this action. And you will stop there. You will cease that action. And what's the other thing that will stop us? The khawf of Allah. This event I've told you before, and I'll repeat it again for our encouragement. There was a man, he was a sinner. There was no chance for his forgiveness or for him, for mercy to come to him. He was like shaitan. He was wealthy, rich, and a poor woman. She said, he's a rich man, I need to go to him and ask him for a loan. Because I'm poor, I need. She went to him and begged and said, Chaudhary Sahib, or this man, your name, my children are hungry, I need some money, please give me some sadaqah, or just loan me the money and I'll give it back to you. And there he said, no, I cannot do this, sorry, that if you implement the immoral action with me, then fine, I'll give you the money. And she said, no, I can't do that, I cannot do this action. She left it. Then after a few days, hardship, difficulty, no money, she went back again. She said, please, can you loan me some money? He said, no. You carry out this action physically with me, and we'll be together, then I'll pay you. She said, so eventually it comes, ultimately that person's hardship takes him to that point that he has to carry out the action physically. So she said, okay, fair enough, I need the money. And when he was about to implement that action, because obviously passion had overridden him and overwhelmed him, and at that time no power of the world can remove that person physically from carrying out that action, unlawful action, because obviously he's there. And the man was there with the woman, he was prepared, and he had prepared himself to carry out that immoral action. When he was about to do that action physically, then the woman cried. She cried. He said, why are you crying? I've paid you. Why do you have to cry now? Let's carry out this action. Let's carry on. She said, I'm crying for this reason, that I was forced to come to you and carry out this action. I'm a clean, pure woman. Nobody has touched me until today. And he was listening to her. Then when she said that, do you not have fear of Allah? That said, the current went into his body. The jolt, the voltage. And he stopped. Because remember I said, no power of the world can stop a person when he's about to carry out that action. Especially for the man when he's with the woman alone. And he stopped suddenly. And he came away from that position. And he asked for forgiveness. He gave her double the amount of money. He said, you have told me about khawf, fear of Allah after today. I promise I will never do this haram actions again. I will not. For which reason did he do this? Khawf came into him. Fear of Allah. He started to shake. She said, don't you fear Allah? That's it. And he started to shake. Shake. Allah Ta'ala's mercy had come. So after some days he passed away, the poor soul. And that same woman saw him in a dream. He was in the gardens of paradise, in the high grade of paradise. And this is the result. Allah Ta'ala says that وَمَن يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ وَيَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا. If a person due to the fear of Allah stops a bad action, Allah says, I'll give him both Jannah. I'll give him two grades of Jannah. The tafsir is very depth, and I got time to describe that today, explain it, but why has Allah Ta'ala said Jannatan? Two Jannah. And we will inshallah hear this explanation sometime. What is the maqam? To just leave the sins due to Allah's fear, the maqam that's attained. Subhanallah. As Aqab bin Ahbar radiallahu ta'ala, who I remember a hadith that he narrated, there was a person, there will be a person when he will be entered, when he will enter into his palace will be so unique in paradise. Amazing palace he will have. Totally different. And it will be made out of green pearls. Green. So this is the reward of the Jannati. We cannot give the example in the world of this. So that palace, that mansion in paradise will be constructed from green pearls. Ajeeb, beautiful palace. And when he enters into that palace, there will be 70 more palaces with him. And in those 70 palaces, in each of those 70 palaces, there will be 70 doors in each one of them. And each door of that of those 70 palaces that Allah Ta'ala will have decorated in the same fashion. Hoors and maidens and servants and beautiful gifts, comforts, luxuries. He'll be the owner of those houses. He will enter to them and he'll say, Allah, so many gardens and houses and palaces. Why has this person been given this? The answer will come that this man, he didn't do any big action that you think, some supernatural action. He didn't do any ibadah worship. He did one action. What is that? That haram, he reached towards haram, close to haram, he was about to implement haram, suddenly my khawf, my fear overwhelmed him, and due to my khawf, he left that action. He left that action. What a beautiful point, the fear of Allah. The fear of Allah. So if a person has khawf, and due to fear, the human being, he's about to follow Allah's orders, and he leaves the actions Allah Ta'ala has told us to refrain from. This should be our style of life. What's the sign of the person who has fear of Allah? That he fears Allah, he doesn't commit the sins. Doesn't implement the sins. The fear of Allah doesn't allow that person commit the sins. And he doesn't disobey Allah. He doesn't physically implement the sins and he leaves the unlawful things. And he's immersed in this lifestyle. Now our lives, let's look at our life. We pray salah, we commit sins. We lie, we backbite, we gossip manga. Where's the fear of Allah gone? Allah's khawf, if we have fear of Allah, then our mouths will be sealed. We will not backbite. Our eyes will be closed to sin. And our feet will stop. in the path towards sin. Everything when a news comes, a hadith or the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes, or Rasulullah said, this is haram. This is unlawful. I don't like this. Don't go near to this. Allah ta'ala states, and we? No, it's okay, I'm doing it. It's alright. There's nothing wrong with it. And we're busy in our routine of sin and we think we have achieved because we are doing ibadah in parallel. No, my brother, such a world is going to come alive. The standard of that dunya is ajeeb. We've made our own standard in this world because we're free. We've made our own standard of Islam. I tell you the honest, direct truth. The reality of Islam is something else. We're in a totally different world. And very seldom do these points get discussed. Very seldom. I tell you the truth. That we have taken temporary actions. We're fooling people and we're fooling ourselves. That this point I'm telling you, tell me, is this reality or not? This is the ruh of Islam. The ruh, the spirit of Islam. Me and you, when we're presented in front of Allah and we're stood there on the Day of Judgment, then tell me, what will be our situation? Our deeds, when the truth, the reality of our deeds will be presented. And khawf, did I fear of Allah in my life? Did I ever implement any action due to khawf of Allah? We follow our nafs and our emotions and our lust and our passions. Look at this. Oh, I'm doing this action. I'm praying. I've done this. I can sin. It's okay. And we make ourselves like we're some angels and we've got a great maqam of wilayat. But it's sad to say, more than this, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even if we're implementing actions of the deen, but there are many actions we're not doing, let's give us a chance, an opportunity, that dhikr is such a great ibadah. Is it jais after doing dhikr to go towards haram? Is it jais after dhikr that our eyes do something wrong, that we listen to bad things from our eyes, that we do bad things with our hands? Is it jais? Such a big ibadah, such a big gift that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us, dhikr, that we're sat in the majlis of dhikr at the moment, that the whole world, the heavens and the earth are proud, they're proud and envious of us. Envious. Allah says, فَبِيَيَّ إِلَىٰ رَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِّبًا. But you even reject this. You even reject this. Allah ta'ala says, you even reject this ni'mah. The ni'mahs that I've given to you, Allah ta'ala says, that you reject these ni'mahs, you reject the gifts and the rewards. You don't accept these things. You don't accept. Allahu Akbar, Salah, Allah says, I've given you prayer in the morning, Dhuhr Salah, I've given Isha Salah, I've given you the tawfiq to pray and to read the Quran and to do dhikr and the maraqabah, dhikr in the morning and the evening. Is this not in the rewards of Allah? فَبِأَيِّ آلَاءِ رَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِّبَانِ. We reject these things and we still go and commit the sins and we go and do a transaction of haram, or we lie, or this program's good, let me watch this, or this is good, let me do this. So Allah Ta'ala's massive favors we've annulled, cancelled. That from millions Allah Ta'ala selected us. From within millions Allah Ta'ala sat us down, made us do dhikr, recite the kalima. We should be so grateful to Allah, so grateful. Subhanallah, we promised you while we're sat here, seated here, such great ni'mas. How can I waste these ni'mas? It can never be that I've committed the sins, I will leave these sins now. At least make a promise. We don't even make these promises and leave the majalis, the gatherings. We leave the gathering, oh, I'm forgiven, everything's fine. Okay, that's fine. When we leave this door, the stamps will be applied that they're forgiven. The hadith states this, and it's haq. Allah Ta'ala stated that this is a majlis where the people, they leave this majlis as forgiven. The dhikr gathering majlis, the dhakir, and even if you don't come with the intention of doing dhikr, I will give you the reward before you leave the gathering. Is this a small reward? Tell me, and how will we waste this now, this reward? How we will throw away the rewards straight away. After the majlis, we go and commit the unlawful actions. All the majalis we've attended in our life, Allah, 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 in our life we've done. We do this. It doesn't mean, yes, we do dhikr, but we waste it. We throw it down the drain like a man earns a lot of money in his shop business. Then he goes to the casino and throws the money away. And will a person that he has earned, he has made money, he has made wealth, and we are making wealth, we are earning, we are doing the ibadah, but we waste our ibadah. There are different ways. And what is it that we need to prevent wasting our deeds? Is the fear of Allah. Fear of Allah. We need to be adhering to the right path. Allah has given me this ni'mah, and further I'm going to go, that so much fear of Allah should come into us. Allah says, وَمَن يَتَّقِ اللَّهِ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرُجَ. Allah says, I will grant you ways out of unhappiness. And what khawf do we need? يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ أَمَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ. How should we fear? Like as Umar used to fear. Like Sadiq used to fear. Look at this. Like Talha used to fear. Zubair, Abu Huraira, radiyallahu anhum. 124,000 sahaba, tabin, taba tabin, they all feared. This is the fear we need to bring into our lives. As Umar radiyallahu anhum, that, for example, did he see something? Say, oh, it's okay, leave it, I can do this. And has Umar radiyallahu anhu, imagine his standard, the basis of his practice. Look at his kamal, his fear of Allah. He had that in the evenings, During his Khilafah, he used to do gasht and used to go out and inspect. Is everyone okay? Is everything okay in the Khilafah? Then he walked past the house and he heard from within the house, the mother is saying to the daughter, that put some water into this milk so we can increase the volume, so we can sell more in the morning. Daughter saying, I'm not doing this, mother. I'm not doing this. Have you heard this event? Haven't you? Has Umar radiallahu anhu. He heard this. She said, no, I can't do this, wrong action. Has Umar stopped and heard this. What kind of household is this? And she said, mother, why? Just put the water into the milk. Do you want to die hungry? She's talking about dunya, fear of dunya, the mother. And the child, the daughter, that subhanAllah, she's talking about risala, Rasulullah's message. Allah's showing both opposite ends in this household. That this is our character, put the water in the milk. And she was showing the character of the sahaba. She said, no, I'm not going to mix water, dilute it. She said, there'll be loss, it will sell, we're poor, we'll get more volume sold, we'll get more money. Put the water in the milk. She said, no, I'm not going to do that. She said, what's the reason? She said, the reason is that, don't you know, as Umar, what he said, and this, she said, is Umar here? Is he looking at you, Umar? Is he? She said, Umar may not be listening to me, but Allah is listening to me, Allah is watching. Allah, as Umar stood there, he started to shake. He started to shake. He said, this is khawf. He started to cry. He stood next to the wall. He saw, subhanAllah, look at this house. What a diamond that's been born into this family. He left. In the morning, he went to his wife and said that, Abdullah, our son, that do you want somebody, a partner for him, a wife for him? She said, come with me. She said, here, we're going to this, the shanty town, to this shack. You want the rishta, the wife to come from this house. We are the Faruqi family. We are high status family. And we are going to give our son to be married to this daughter. They sell milk, isn't it? She didn't say this is what we say today. But look, taqwa. Taqwa is the first thing to see. That from the poor home, from the poor household, take a woman, or take the woman from any part of the society who has the fear of Allah, the khawf of Allah, what will come? Who will be born from the household? What children will be born? From that same progeny, Hazrat Umar bin Abdul Aziz, radiallahu anhu, Faruqi. Faruqi blood, Mujaddad al-Aftani, Abdullah bin Abdul bin Aziz, and Faruqi and Mujaddad al-Aftani, Ramadullah, and Hazrat Baba Farid Shakar Ganj, Ramadullah, Hazrat Tanwi, Ramadullah, Shawaliullah Delwi, Ramadullah, all were Faruqi. Great personalities. What diamonds came from their progeny, offspring, from their descendants, tell me. And she said, the wife said, no, no, not here. Then Hazrat Umar, then, you know, he could force, and she listened, and then they went, both of them, husband and wife, to the house. They said, oh, Hazrat Umar has come. Oh, he's caught us. We mixed the water in the milk, and maybe somebody's complaining. Whenever people saw Umar, they would get afraid or scared, but Umar radiallahu anhu, aha, he had his head lowered and humble. وَمَن يَتَّقِ اللَّهِ Fear of Allah. He said, oh, that Allah says, ittaqullah, fear of Allah. He had bowed his head and he was humble. He said, we have come here like beggars to ask from you. They said, is it? What's the problem, the issue? He said, we've come to ask you for something. Hazrat Umar said, she said, Amir Mu'mineen, we have nothing. We are poor. We have nothing to give to you. What have you come to ask from us? Hazrat Umar radiallahu said, no, we've come to ask you. They said, we can't give you anything. We have nothing. He said, please don't reject. We don't have anything. You have a big treasure. You have a big treasure that you've been given. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you treasures. She said, me? I was mixing water in the milk. What treasure have I got? That Hazrat Umar said, you have a diamond. And which diamond? That, oh, Allahu Akbar, Allah knows that you don't have that value, the appreciation of the diamond that you've got. He said, we have come to take your diamond from you. She said, what are you talking about? The mother said, the mother of that girl. He said, your daughter, this girl, I want to wed to my son. I'm asking you for her hand in marriage to my son. Please don't reject. She said, okay, fine, let me ask my daughter. Allahu Akbar, Subhanallah, Rishta. The knot was tied and then they got married and then the Faruqi blood continued. Taqwa, fear of Allah, wa man yattaqillah. Allah says, from such a place I will give you rizq and will such heights and glory that you cannot even imagine. I will take you to the uruj, to the heights. One current needs to come into the life. There are two opposites in front of us. Two conditions. One is the fear of dunya, pills and tranquilizers and drugs, sleeping up, can't sleep in the night, and being a bandit and a gambler or a sinner or somebody who's a gangster. And we all want this illness and disease to come out of our lives. Oh, I want to do this. Let's go here. Go and ask this person. Shaitan says, do this action. This will go. Go to that person. Get this solution. Then in the night we get up. What should we do? I can't sleep. It's hard. Then I start doing this action, X, Y, Z. And this is reality of lives of people in the world. And it's open in the world today. We don't even think that this is a defect. We think it's fine. It's totally acceptable. And this defect is everywhere. Subhanallah. But Allah says, the other end, the opposite end, Allah's remembrance, khawf, fear of Allah. Do we want this, brothers? Do we want this? Subhanallah. Then the first thing is we need to make niyyah to attain this, because there's no manzil that is far destination. If we see tear, make the intention, khawf of Allah will come suddenly into hearts. But let's promise the signs that Allah Ta'ala has given for Allah Ta'ala's fear, that whenever the time comes for disobedience from morning till evening, the tests come, the challenges come. Every second Allah Ta'ala gives us a test and a challenge from the eyes, from the tongue, from the hands, from the stomach. Every moment, second, we are in a test and a challenge. And every second there's the time for us to reach to the height of the nearness to Allah. There's no limit to the nearness of Allah. There's no limit to the closeness of Allah. There is no limit. Until now, nobody's reached to the qurb of Allah. Nobody has got to that point. The greatest personality who came to this world, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, rahmatul lil alamin, rahmat of the kainat, of the universe. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, even to this day, he is progressing and advancing in his levels of qurb, nearness to Allah. Why? When we recite durood and we send that durood to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then his levels increase. His qurb with Allah increases. Even now they're increasing. We say that, oh, for example, the Rasulullah has gone so close to Allah that one qawz, one bow's width is left. And even now he's still getting closer. By even getting so close to Allah, that there's still so many levels to get close to Allah, that even now Rasulullah is increasing in his nearness to Allah. And it will never end. And if Rasulullah's nearness to Allah never ended, then how will ours end? How will ours end? On every dhikr, in every remembrance of Allah, the level increases. In every salah, the level increases. Every dua, the level increases. Every action, every second of a believer, his levels increase, his nearness to Allah increases, his reward increases, his qurb increases, and it never ends. Do we understand? We can never understand the kingdom of Allah. Who is Allah? How great He is. He's so glorious, the greatest. Nobody can understand. Nobody can understand. To this extent, the Rasulullah said, I'll tell you another point here. A qurb of Allah, that even on the day of Hashr, on the day of judgment, at that time when all the prophets of Allah will come to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they say, though please, we're in difficulty, please at least ask Allah that take us to that point that the day of judgment starts, that we're stood here, we don't know when the day of judgment is going to start. The day of Hashr, resurrection, will be stood for thousands of years, many, many, many years, will be stood waiting for the day of judgment to start. Severe heat, difficulty. We've read, you've read the hadith, what will be the conditions, the problems, and the anbiya, the prophets will be shaking. They will go, oh Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, intercede for us, please ask Allah that at least this day of resurrection ends, so that the day of judgment can start, so we can come out of this phase. The fair enough, the paradise and hell will be judged and given out. Please do dua, please ask that we can come to that day, that day starts. At that time, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, imagine his status, and he will do sajda, prostrate to Allah, and imagine that maqam, his nearness to Allah that day. Allah stated, oh my Habib, today that such kalamat I will give to you today, that before today you've not even recited those kalamat. Imagine those kalamat. Imagine the closeness. So even now there's qurb that is left, the nearness to Allah that is left, that Rasulullah will attain on that day and further beyond today. So those kalamat Rasulullah will recite, and then the condition will change and the day of judgment will draw near. So my brothers, darajat, levels, spiritual heights, many, we are wasting our life. I swear by Allah, we are wasting our time. Think. That is there anything that we cannot attain? Is there anything that, okay, at least we've got this, that some people are listening at least. People don't even listen to these things. They don't even do ibadah. That, oh, this has no link with the deen. This is extra, you're telling us. What link has this to do with the deen, with the worship? Islam, I'm following my routine. Allah is Ghafoor Rahim, He'll save me, it's okay. I'm praying and it's okay if I do these actions. Allah's providing for me. So what do we need to do? We need to create what? Instill the fear of Allah in our hearts. We need to replace the fear of dunya with the fear of Allah in our hearts. Will we do this? Inshallah. Shall I tell you the tariqah? The method, very easy. Recite the ruchi first. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina wa Mawlana Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sallam. Because in the hereafter, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's intercession will help us, won't it? So let's start with the durood of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah, tell us the method, first class, that we can replace the fear of the dunya with your fear. So let's ask the Quran. What is not in the Quran? Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu taqullah wa qunu ma'as sadiqeen. Subhanallah. Praise be to Allah. Glory be to Allah. Allah says, O people of belief, create khawf in your hearts. Is Allah Ta'ala not saying this? Allah, how should we do this? Qunu ma'as sadiqeen. Those people of fear before you, who already have fear, who are developing and who are demonstrating that fear, sit with them. Take hold of their company. Spend your life with them. Imagine the cure, the solution Allah has given here. But for this ibadah, now we need to see here that you're praying salah, you've done wudu, okay? Many people, they do wudu. Even munafiqs did wudu, ablution. They did miswak during wudu. They used to rinse their mouth, gargle their mouths. They used to do wudu, totally, perfectly stand. They used to pray. Was their prayer accepted? Say it loudly. No. No. But they stood there praying. Their talawah, recitation, Quran, they've done wudu, everything. But from there, the other side, Allah Ta'ala said, no, their salah is not accepted. Why? Why? What was the reason? The niyyah was wrong. They didn't have the base intention. And if we don't have the base intention correct, that action we're physically implementing will not affect us. Never say fear of Allah. Okay, fine. What's the cure? This is the cure. That go to the company of the awliya Allah, the friends of Allah. The Quran is telling us this. Why? That 124,000 companions, however many they were, that there was no one in the history of mankind who had more khawf fear of Allah than the Sahaba after Tabi'in, Tabi'in, Tabi'in. What was it they had? What was the solution? What made them afraid of Allah? In 1 second of the company of Rasulullah ﷺ, they had one sight of the Prophet ﷺ, and suddenly fear of Allah would come into their hearts. And they became that example in the history of mankind. The question never arose in their lives that they disobeyed Allah and made the sins. Everything could finish, but they would never sin, commit an error in front of Allah Ta'ala's orders. What was this? The blessed sight and company of the Prophet ﷺ. A second of sohbat, of the company of the pious. So here in this day and age, we can do the same. So that sunnah is continuing through the decades, through the centuries, to today. And this same sunnah, you go into the company of a wali of Allah, a true sheikh, a kamil sheikh. If you sit with the wali of Allah, it doesn't take long. One blessed sight of the wali of Allah changes that person to the position of the fear of Allah. Totally, I'm telling you the haq, the truth. Truth, but what's the reason? What's the reason? Same point. The person who doesn't pray without the right niyyah, his salah is not accepted. So how can our life be accepted without the right niyyah? That we say we've got fear of Allah, but in my heart it says, oh, it's okay, if I do this sin, it's good for me, then I'll go towards Allah's obedience. Let me do this haram, I've got to do a bit of this so it benefits me in the world. Is this not coming in your minds now? In our minds? Oh, I'm stuck in this. Let me do this first, then I'll leave this. It'll become hard for the sake of Allah, fear of Allah. No, this is not the case. Any person, anyone who stops straight away, that's it, after today, finished. The story, and I'll go and I will follow the orders. Doesn't matter if dunya goes downhill, reduces amount, fine, I've done everything. After leaving the dunya and the love of dunya, you take the fear of Allah and you leave all of the wealth of the dunya, the comforts and luxuries, and you take one wealth, and I've got trust on the Quran. وَمَن يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ, Allah Ta'ala says, وَمَن يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا. Allah says, he who fears me, who's conscious of everyone, and unto everyone who's conscious of Allah, Allah always grants a way out of unhappiness. So will we do this? So who, that person, if we consider him a wali of Allah, will only go to the wali of Allah according to us, and oh, I think he's a wali, he's considered me as a student, you go to him, okay, you're a wali of Allah, we're going with our niyyah, with our intention, Allah says, fine, according to your niyyah, I will make him the wali of Allah, even if he is or not, but we've made a niyyah, Allah, that we think that this is the wali of Allah, the friend of Allah, Allah says, you will attain from that person's company all the benefits of the wali of Allah, because Allah Ta'ala goes according to the niyyah, like the hadith I told you yesterday, isn't it? That we say, oh, he's not a wali of Allah, oh, I'll find him in India, in Baroch, he sat there, great sheikh, or in Surat, there's a sheikh, and he makes you wear torn clothes, and he makes you do ziyarah in the dream, here, I can't find the sheikh here. In the UK. My friends, if your heart feels that this person is Sharif, good person, looks like he's a friend of Allah, you feel peace in your heart, you like his words, that's it, he's the wali of Allah. Allah says, yes, he is the wali of Allah. And for you, he's the kutub, maktab, ghaws, everything I'll make him for you. Allah, because Allah says that I am with my servant in the way he thinks. Remember I mentioned this yesterday? So we have no need to go far. But sad that our niyyah is not even made. We sit with the sheikh, with the wali, we never even think that, oh look, he's here, let me have his company. We say, oh no, that sheikh's come, let's walk around with him, let's wander around, what will we attain? Nothing, astaghfirullah, nothing. Allah says, I am with you according to intention. First hadith in the books of hadith, whenever we start an action, first we need to crush our desires, make our own intention strong, that from today this is my niyyah and I'm going to follow this path. From today, this is my sheikh, the wali of Allah, whether he looks to me not to be too great, but I feel my heart is at peace, and he's telling me good things. Allah says, if you make that niyyah, then with your niyyah, I will make him the wali of Allah, and I will elevate his rank and stages. And this happens. This happens. And this person who doesn't have this niyyah, he can sit all his life long. He'll look left and right, run after this person, that person. No, he's great, he's small. No, he's not great. This hadith, or he narrates hadith, he's got Arabic grammar, or he's the sheikh, he's got knowledge, or he's jahil, illiterate. Those people who stay and spend their life in comparison and wasting their time, they will never benefit in the life. But if you, this ajiz, this humble servant, so one person, one true sheikh, and that was not a generation where there weren't walis of Allah, there were many many great walis of Allah near my home, next to my home, left, right, in front, behind, such great walis of Allah that if I tell you their names, they were great walis of Allah. But this was the taste. Allah Ta'ala introduced me to the great one meeting, and I had love for him. One introduction to my Shaykh Hazrat Rahmatullah Alayh, and I fell in love with him. And people saying, why are you going to other people? Look at these Shaykhs, these are their Khalifas, Khalifas and deputies. I said, no, he can be Khalifa of whoever, but this is my Khalifa, this is my Shaykh. And nafs stopped me, dunya stopped me. No, nobody knows his name. Until today, nobody knew his name. Hazrat Ali Murtaza, that he's a great Shaykh. He sat in a village in Gadai. There was a Khanka, nobody goes there. Who knows him? Only the people of that locality go there. Why are you stuck with this Shaykh? Where are you going? No, no, no. There's no karamat, no greatness. I said, doesn't matter, whatever. Whatever it is, but I have become his. I said, I've assigned myself to him. That's it. Then Allah Ta'ala makes that situation. Then all of the doors of Rahman and Mercy, Allah Ta'ala opens from that position. And everything comes from there. Why? Allah Ta'ala has promised, you make the right niyyah. That you can sit in the jungle and make the niyyah. And such a man, if you see in the jungle, he's a thief, he's a bandit. You say, this is my Shaykh. Allah says, I'll make him your Shaykh. He himself will say that, look, how can I be your Shaykh, your leader? And the student says, no, you are my Shaykh, teacher. And this is in the history. And those people who are the Shaykhs, Allah Akbar, Allah Ta'ala gives the benefit of their company. So now we've understood, it's very easy if we sit in the company of the Wali of Allah. But before we sit in the company, what do we need? What do we need? That whatever he says after today, the teacher, that's it. Because I've told you the explanation. The Shaykh says, what do you need? I said, I don't need anything. Then why have you come to me? I said, I've come because I want to leave the dunya. He said, is it that I want to leave the fear of the world? I want the fear of Allah. He said, my son, sit here until the evening then. Sit here until the evening. And I will give you, I'll send you away from it with the Khilafat. 150 men were there, Hazrat announced. I say that Allah Ta'ala has mentioned in the Quran, Haq, the truth, the Hadith is Haq and truth. We are thieves ourselves. We are thieves. That you go to any kutub, the ghaus, the wali of Allah, we are like the empty boxes. Empty boxes. We are cold and cool. We are not truth. We are not sincere. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he looks at the true niyyah, the true intention. How? If we say with the true niyyah that this is my Shaykh and I am his murid, that Allah Ta'ala, you've said, Qunu ma sadiqeen, I've taken the rope, the gathering, the company of this wali of Allah, and that's it. Whatever the Shaykh, my teacher says, I'm going to listen to his advice and guidance so I can become a better human being. Do we promise like this today? That I'm laughing while saying this. So what I'm saying is that this is Mujahida, the greatest Mujahida. If we say there's no Mujahida or praying Salah five times, then we have to pray Salah, otherwise we'll get the punishment. This is not a great achievement to pray. If we don't pray, there's a punishment. This is fard. How can we become walis like this from five times Salah? How? That you don't become a wali from five times Salah. Is it? This is fard, compulsory. If we don't do this, then we'll get problems and issues. If we don't give zakah or fast or pray salah or go on hajj, then these will become like spiders and scorpions in the grave with the punishment. But the beautiful achievement is that your Shaykh, your teacher, who rectifies your nafs and your heart, whatever he advises, you follow his prescription. When if he tells you to leave something, leave it. And if he says do, then you do it. You don't say, Hazrat, why are you saying this? This will happen, I'll get a loss. Then you lose out and you'll finish them as a student. So this is the story of Hazrat Musa alayhi salam, Hazrat Khizr alayhi salam. That you want to become? Yes, I want to become. Will you learn? I will learn. And then there's one condition, whatever I say, do it. Stay quiet and follow the instructions. And Sahabi Sharia, such a great Nabi. And he's going to become the friend of Allah. And this is Piri Muridi. This is how it becomes. This is how it becomes. This is the whole event, the story. So my brother's life, let's not waste it. Let's improve our lives, change our lives for the better. There are many things. But if the fear of dunya stays in our heart, people will think we're mad and crazy. Angels will think we're crazy. Everyone will laugh at us. Look at him. Allah Ta'ala sent him to dhikr and he comes out. He's got fear of the world. Even then he keeps talking about dunya, dunya. He's still tussling with the dunya, clashing with the dunya. So should we change and improve? Of course. Inshallah, make niyyah and have courage, determination. Take anybody's company that, oh, I can't go far. I know India, there's a big sheikh. He said, but here, Allah give me a sheikh in this locality, in Masjid Aisha. Give me a Shaykh Allah. That maybe in a week, if I come once, okay, I can't go all of the majlis, but inshallah you'll get everything if you come once a week. Make a strong, solid niyyah intention. And whatever he says, advises, I will implement. That's it. May Allah Ta'ala give us all the tawfiq. Ameen.